shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
I have one of the largest bellies around on the website, so that's why they wanted me to be on it. Also have
now,
many...
I heard you yelling about treason and trying anti-posts for treason. Is that something that you think...
Osama bin Laden, the right to appear in a U.S. courtroom, you are clothing Osama bin Laden with the protections of the U.S. Constitution.
It's very important to note that the Prius hybrid and other hybrids have a self-protective function.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, where we take you on a through the looking glass Alice in Wonderland tour. And essentially tell you what's going on in the world of news, issue, talk radio, and maybe even how you feel about things. And let me just say this, too. Hello, America. Osama bin Laden will not be tried in a court because we're going to kill him. That according to Eric Holder. You'll remember when Bush said dead or alive, and people thought that was a real Nazi fascist bastard thing to say. Holder said the same thing today. He says, he ain't going to be in any courtroom, man, because we're going to waste him, or his people will waste him, so he isn't taken. He is not captured. And we'll talk about that on our program this evening. As well, New Jersey has a woman who is a fat lady, and apparently she's trying to become the world's fattest woman. And to that end, she's gained weight and is on a website, and you can look at her fat ass on that website. And excuse me for saying that, but that's essentially what we're talking about. She's taking, it's a subscription-based site. Now, if you want to see somebody that's fat and get a little more for your dollar, like, you know, an entertaining radio show, you can certainly tune into this one. But at any event, coming up, Andy Levy of Red Eye joins us tomorrow night. Next Wednesday, we'll be joined by Adam Carolla, our number 877-876-PHIL, and our affiliate spotlight this evening, our great friends in Indianapolis at WXNT 1430 AM in Indianapolis and in the Tri-Cities, Washington, KFLD 870 AM up there in the Tri-Cities. We're really proud to be on both of those radio stations. 877-876-PHIL. And joining us this evening is Father James McQuarters. Father McQuarters has not been on our program for quite some time, and we're very happy to have him on. We're going to be talking about health care this evening with the Father. But also, and I want to make sure, Father, that I state this situation as clearly and as accurately as I can, a very embarrassing and upsetting situation befalling you during your Mass last Sunday. Is that right?
Oh, that's correct, Phil. And this had to do with the Cochran family. But as we were saying before your program, the two of our parishioners, both very devoted churchgoers, good parents, very good people, and also have lent time to our elementary school. And it's unfortunate that a homily that I had been working on for quite some time was interrupted and I think the situation was not explained as properly as it could have been by the media.
All right. Well, you mentioned the name of Angie and Stuart Cochran. This is a family there in your parish at Belmar Academy. While you were giving your homily on Sunday, their children were acting up, correct? And I should tell people...
That's correct, essentially, Bill.
I should tell people that both of their children are autistic, right?
That is the case. Both children are developmentally disabled, and both children have a Tourette-style vocalization or vocal mechanism that will kick in terms of expression. And so it was in the middle of the homily that I gave on Sunday that the children began to, act up a bit as children will. And
because both of these children are developmentally disabled, they're not really aware that they're acting up.
That is correct. They have very limited function. There is a limited awareness of the world or the reality about them. And Angie and Stuart both have done a pretty good job of maintaining these children during Mass. But they were particularly rambunctious, yes.
Rambunctious during your homily, Father. Now, you mentioned that you had been giving a homily on Sunday while these children were acting up. That's something that you had been working on?
Well, the homily that I was delivering on Sunday had to do with the Gospel according to John and the Savior Jesus. at the time that he turned the water into wine during the wedding feast. And this was to communicate to our parishioners the need to believe in the blood of the Lamb as a miracle-working belief. The Catholic belief, the miracle-working belief.
Right.
And the children began to make noise. And that's what I had said to Angie. I said to the parishioners, I've known Angie Cochran since she's 11 years of age, when her family first moved to the parish.
So you've known this. You've known Angie Cochran ever since she was a little girl. What about Stuart?
I'd only met Stuart when they got married. But I'd known Angie and I'd known her family since they moved to California. They came here from Arizona when she was 11. She's 35 years old now. It was quite some time.
Quite a while, yeah.
And the children began to act up. I said that Angie, had there been a national health care plan, that she might have gotten the kind of prenatal care that she needed so that these two children would not have been the victim of what might have happened to them prenatally, you understand, with the proper care.
So I just want to be clear, because I think this is where she became very angry. You said that the children...
She did not become angry. She did not become angry.
No, but she got angry after. I know that when during Mass she didn't say anything, nor did her husband, right?
No, neither one of them got angry.
But they got angry after Mass because they contacted media.
That was the case, yes. And it was very unfortunate for them to take that a family piece of business outside of our parish that way.
All right, so you said to her during this homily...
Let me finish my story, if you wouldn't mind, and then I'd be happy to answer any question you have. Because this is the problem. Angie and Stuart both took this outside of the family of the parish and gave it to the media. And that is how the story has gotten so twisted around, you understand?
All right.
So I said to her, to the congregation, that if Angie, if there'd been a proper health care plan, a national health care plan, she would have had the proper prenatal care required so as not to create these two very unfortunate children. And I said that I have been working on this homily about St. John for quite a long time. And that is unfortunate that because of these two children who did not receive perhaps the kind of prenatal care that they should have received, and are now autistic, are making these noises, making these bizarre sounds, and impeding my ability, you know, to deliver a good sermon.
And all right, so you there was a lot of mouth. That was a lot to say. So you said that the children were impeding. Now, what she did was she talked to at least a couple of local broadcast reporters, I think, and said that you had suddenly, out of the blue, singled her and her husband out as being bad parents.
Well, I never said they were bad parents, Phil.
Well, somehow she said that you claimed that children had not received... The children were autistic because they hadn't gotten proper prenatal care, correct?
I did say that. And as I said to you, I said it in relation to the fact that there was no national health care plan. Angie and Stuart are not wealthy people. I can tell you, I know both of them, they're not wealthy people. And I would never think that they should have the kind of resources that perhaps some women have in order to give the kind of a treatment to a child prenatally that they might. Angie and Stuart have never had this kind of money. The two children that they've got are autistic, through no fault of their own.
And no, all right, through the fault of the fact that there's no national health care plan. That's what you said.
That's what I said. It's not blaming them, though. You understand?
Well, she said to the media that.
Well, I know what she said. I know what she said. People tell me every day what she said, and people tell me every day what Stuart said. And I look at them. I say, would you like to know what I've said? Would you like to know what I? And no one seems to have the interest to listen to Father McWhorter's when he explains to them. I said, I did not say this girl did not take care of her babies. I said that the children would not have come out of her womb in as distorted a fashion as they had if there'd been a national health care plan with a proper prenatal care.
But that, isn't that like saying to a woman, you know what, it's too bad, you know, you can't take care of yourself because you're just not able to, and so we needed national health care because otherwise you're not much of a mother?
Well, I don't think that you think that that is a terrible affront.
Well, it is, sort of. I mean, was she not going to a doctor? Wasn't she?
I know she was going to a doctor, but if you had a national health care plan, and you're aware of the fact you've got a national health care plan, it becomes a duty, almost, to avail yourself of some kind of health care because everyone's been talking about it. And everyone has been on the news, and everyone has been saying, national health care, national health care. And so that you won't, even if you wanted to forget, to go and have yourself checked up by the doctor, you wouldn't. And I don't know what she forgot. There might be days that she forgot. I don't know what kind of doctor she had.
Well, there's no saying that if there was a national health care plan, that her kids would have not have been autistic.
I'm sorry, say that again.
There's no proving that had there been national health care, her kids wouldn't still have been autistic.
I think there's a very good argument to be made that had there been a national health care plan, that those children would not have come out as distorted as they did.
How could you say that?
Because you're going to be availing yourself, you'll say, I have national health care. Look, I have national health care. Everyone's got national health care. Let me go and take advantage of my national health care. It's not, these days, it's not enough to say I'm going to the doctor because there's no community of parents there, you see. There's no community of parents. There's no one saying, I'm going to a doctor. Are you going to a doctor who's a part of a national network of national health providers? No. I'm just going to a doctor. And no one is invested in that kind of a community. But if we have national health care, I'm going to my national health care provider. Are you going to your national health care provider? I'm going to go to have prenatal care to make sure that my children don't come out as discarded as the ones eventually did to come out to be. And if I sound a little bit angry, it's only because I've been portrayed as some kind of a demon in this discussion.
All right, Father McQuarters, hold the line. James McQuarters is a priest, a Catholic priest, who in the middle of a homily last Sunday remarked to a woman whose autistic children were making a lot of noise, had there been a national health care plan, your children would not have come out autistic. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, this girl is, Angie Cochran is well-known to the father. They're friends. And he thinks that he was doing her a favor or saying something that was actually to benefit her. He didn't think that he was mocking her or offending her. But that's the story that we got from him. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with your phone calls and more from Father James McQuarters here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Coming up later in our program, one man at least finds the reporting of John Edwards and Riel Hunter and their ongoing and ever-blossoming and blooming romance highly offensive and highly destructive in terms of how often it's being reported. We'll be talking with him on our show. 877-876-PHIL. Father James McQuarters is with us. And how often do you talk about the issue of health care, where it is such a personal thing, has to do with a Sunday homily during Catholic Mass? But that's what we're discussing right now with Father McQuarters. We'll take your phone calls as well at 877-876-PHIL. So this young lady and her husband are there. They've got autistic children. And you made this point. Now, why do you think she got angry? If you don't agree with her anger or you think that she unfairly singled you out, Father, why is she angry?
Well, I don't know. I think that parents can become very... I think that a lot of parents will become self-recriminating that they have two autistic children. I think that she blames herself. And I think perhaps she blames her husband. Her husband blames himself. He blames her. And this is what happens, you know, when you've got two children that are autistic, two children that are developmentally disabled. And then the priest in your parish will stand and say to you, as a result of no proper prenatal care, your children came out distorted and are making these noises in the mass, in the midst of the homily, about St. John. And I said to her, had there been a national health care plan, this would not have happened. But she took this on herself.
She took it personally. And you saying a national health care plan, are priests, you know, I've never been clear on this, Father, are priests allowed to comment on political issues?
It's not a political issue.
Well, it certainly is a political issue in this country. It's very political. There's people calling it socialism.
No, it's not. Well, that's where they have it wrong. It's not a political issue at all. We're talking about the love of Christ. We're talking about a community taking care of its own. We're talking about people taking care of people. We're talking about the union and the community and the body of Jesus Christ. And we're talking about how the interaction of faith can heal. And to that end, had we a national health care plan, I would not have been giving a homily on Sunday and then having it interrupted by these two children, these four children who came out distorted. And
you keep saying they came out distorted, Father. You know what I'm saying? And maybe that's one of the reasons why she got angry.
Well, they did come out to start it, but it was not the fault of the children. Nor was it the fault of the mother. Had there been a national health care plan, these children might not have come out to start it to die. Giving these noises, making these sounds. And
do you, when you say making these sounds, I think I know what you're saying. Were they talking?
I have a slide of the tape recording here. It's not the best tape recording, but I don't know if you heard that.
All I heard was what sounded like a tone.
No, that's...
Was that one of the kids?
That was one of the kids, yeah. And so you're giving a homily. And it is one that I was very much looking forward to giving because this had to do with the community of Christ and the St. John, the Gospel according to John. And suddenly I hear this a noise that sounds like, you know, someone screaming at you. A crazy man. I realize it's not a crazy man at all. It's one of the children. It certainly shocked me, you see. And so, to that end, I was frightened.
You were frightened. All right. These are the things that she brought up to the media, by the way, that she found to be offensive when you said you were frightened, when you said that you were, you were offended.
I was only at the door. I was offended by the fact that she, her prenatal care...
But again, it wasn't her fault.
It's not her fault, no. But she should know that she and her husband both are very conservative. And
all right, well, so the politics does come into it, because when you say that the husband and her are conservative and they would be voting against the national health care plan and she's got autistic kids, you're singling them out, aren't you?
I'm not singling them out, no. I don't see how I could say that.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Father James McQuarters on the line with us as we talk about two autistic children and a comment he made during a homily that if had there been national health care, this woman would have had prenatal care, which might have kept her children from being autistic. Here's Linda on the Phil Hendry Show. Linda, go ahead. You're on with Father James McQuarters.
Okay, Father James, I think that is a cruel and heartless thing to say. Medical science cannot prove that autism is caused by the lack of prenatal care. In fact, if it were, most of the world's children would be born autistic because most of the world's children lack adequate prenatal care.
You can't make that comment either. You can't say that comment is anywhere any bit as valid as the one that I made then. But I will tell you this. I'm simply saying had she received better prenatal care, there's a possibility the children would not come out as distorted as they were.
Well, I have a pre-existing condition, a genetic condition that I was born with. Not from lack of prenatal care, just from lousy luck of the genes. And
what is the condition?
I have muscular dystrophy. Muscular dystrophy.
Oh.
You ever watch the Jerry Lewis telethon?
Yes, dear. Do you have crutches? Do you use any kind of external aid to walk?
I'm almost totally bedridden. I use a wheelchair when I need to get around, a motorized wheelchair, and I have most of my life.
You use the motorized wheelchair then, all right.
Yes.
And we've had a lot of, I understand.
So...
Oh, you know what? We're coming up on a break, Linda. Hold the line here. 877-876-PHIL. Father James McCorder is talking about his homily and his comment on prenatal care.
Phil Hendry.
All right, Father James McCorders is with us. You know, you're talking about two children that are autistic, and you were giving your sermon on a Sunday morning, and the kids are going to make these noises. But to point out to the mother, had she had better prenatal care, and we have Linda on the line here. I want to get her back up here because Linda suffers from, or I shouldn't say suffers from, Linda's learned to live with muscular dystrophy. Linda, thank you for hanging on.
Yep.
I want to make one point before the young lady speaks. I want to make one. You said that she's learned to live with muscular dystrophy.
I don't think I have.
I don't think you could.
I think there is a point
where you have to think about. And I don't agree with abortion. I don't agree with abortion at all.
Well, you see, Father.
Whoa, what are you talking about, Father?
I'm not saying that I agree with it. I'm saying, but there are times you're tempted to think, like those two autistic children, had she just gone ahead and fleshed it out, you know, or however they do it, I don't know.
Well, see, Father, now there I've got to have an argument, because everybody, yeah. No matter what their disability is, really should have a shot at living their life. No one can judge how big or small my life is. Some days I'm in bed for 24 hours a day in horrible pain, and yet the 1 hour that I have without pain is sweeter to me than maybe a year of no pain might be to someone who's able-bodied.
What about this motorized cart that you have? Are you in the church with the motorized cart? Because we've had people who come into the church with a motorized cart, and they've lost control of it.
Well, have you lost control of it?
I've never lost control of my wheelchair, ever.
I have ridden my wheelchair to the Grand Canyon, to the tops of mountains. I've been all over the world in my wheelchair. I've been in a wheelchair on the top of Mount Kilauea in Hawaii. I've been all over the UK in a wheelchair. I've never lost control of my wheelchair. If you have someone in your congregation who is losing control of their wheelchair, maybe they need some assistance.
She lost control of the wheelchair one day, and I said, I don't know if the young lady Linda has ever seen the movie Kiss of Death, where the woman is wrapped up with an electrical cord in her wheelchair and pushed down the stairs by Richard Widmark, which I thought was a gruesome scene in a movie.
Oh.
But you sometimes know the movie I'm talking about, Linda.
Oh, that's an old movie.
I do. You know,
I've seen people lose control
of their cars.
Right.
Anytime you put a human being at the controls of a motorized thing, there's a possibility of control.
Hold on for a minute. We're off the point here. You're talking about wrapping somebody in a wheelchair with electrical cord.
I'm simply saying that when I heard the autistic children, and I thought that if they'd ever been in a wheelchair, they would go into a wheelchair at some point in their life. What drives a mother to think of wrapping them up in electrical wire and pushing them downstairs?
Why would you, as a priest, even think of such a thing? That's an outrageous thing.
Because as a priest, you have to think of every possibility that might enter the human mind.
I don't agree with that. I think that's a heinous thing to have in your mind.
That's a horrible thing to have a mother.
Good, whatever things are loving, whatever things are kind, think on these things, the Apostle
yes,
Paul tells
agree.
Us. Not on horrible,
those children,
what ifs.
Can I
mean, if you have
you,
such...
Linda? Can I play the tape for you, Linda? Hold on. Now, that was in Mass last Sunday.
Now, who is that? One of the children?
Yes.
Okay, so
Father, I have to ask you a question then.
Wait a minute.
If you have someone in your congregation, the least of your brethren, a child, a small child, who is so disabled that they cannot control the sounds that are coming out of them. Is your response to be annoyed that they're interrupting your well-crafted sermon, or is your response to be loving and patient? I'm sure Jesus Christ had many an autistic person or a person with Tourette syndrome when he was feeding the 5,000, when he was giving the Sermon on the Mount.
But you have to understand.
And what was his
response? He picked up the money changers, you know. Now,
those were people who
were
not disabled. Right. Those were greedy.
Well, we don't know that, do we? We don't know that, do we? There might have been someone
with a disability.
There might have been a money changer with muscular dystrophy that Jesus lifted over his head and threw into the street. You don't know that.
That person who was money changer might have deserved that.
Oh, come on.
But that is not
the
same.
There might have been a money changer.
Father, according to your faith, what is the age of consent in your faith?
First of all, these two autistic children are 27 years of age. They're twins.
Well, you're calling them children. I mean, if
they're adults.
They're adults. Why do you call them children?
Because they're like children in the brain. They're mentally children.
No, they're not.
You know.
Autistic people are adults in their brain. They're simply adults who cannot listen and hear everything.
Linda, you had a question? You had a question, then we're going to move on. Linda, what was your question? Then we have to move on to another call. Go ahead.
Okay, my question is,
her wheelchair went out of control.
She didn't say her wheel...
No, my wheelchair's never been out of control. My question for you, Father, is this. What would Christ do with a person who is a disabled person? In his time when he was alive, didn't he heal people who were sick? He said, inasmuch as you
some
do this
them,
to
yes.
the least of my brethren, you do
yes.
it to me. Do you comfort the sick? Do you console them?
Some of them he did, and some of them he did not.
We should visit the sick. We should comfort the sick. We should console those who are ill, not to criticize them, and worse than that, to accuse them.
That is correct, Linda. But, Linda, I'm trying to say to you that there is some biblical and historical indication that when Jesus threw the money changers from the temple, that one or two of them might have
had multiple sclerosis. That was a different circumstance from dealing with someone with a disability.
Yeah,
brought to Jesus, he said...
He might have thrown a blind man.
Yeah. All right, Linda, thank you for...
Was it his parents' fault?
Exactly, exactly. Thank you, Linda. 877-876-PHIL. What do you mean? You're saying historical...
There is historical indication that the temple, at the time that Jesus threw the money changers out, was also collecting a spot where those that were... ill, those that had the physical disabilities and so forth, would gather and receive alms. And that Jesus might have lifted one or two of those and thrown them or kicked them out through a window out into the street. We don't know.
Well, don't you think Jesus would know whether he was throwing a money changer or a man afflicted with muscular dystrophy out of a window?
No, but I'm saying that you don't know if the money changer himself had that disease.
A money changer with muscular dystrophy.
That is correct, yes.
877-876-PHIL is the number. Here is Mike in San Antonio. Go ahead, Mike. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Father James McQuarters.
Yes, I'm a little confused. He said national health care would have stopped her having autistic children. Now, I think
proper prenatal care, yes. If she'd had the proper prenatal care,
well,
there would have been a chance.
There's no prenatal care for autism. I have a high-functioning autistic son. He wasn't high-functioning when we first had him. We got him a speech therapy, and we were proactive about it, and praise God that you can hardly tell
you're
autistic at all now. But the thing is...
Well, that's wonderful. It's wonderful. I think it's wonderful. But when your wife was pregnant with your son, did she use a sun lamp? Was there bug spray? These are the things that we don't know.
A sun lamp or bug spray? You're right. We don't know. How can we know?
You can't say what the catalyst is that causes autism or that say don't use this or that. I mean, to tell somebody that they didn't have the right prenatal, that's a shot in the dark there.
Well, I understand, but you see, she had complained to me about the doctor she'd had and was concerned.
Well, what concerned her?
She didn't think she'd like to go to a doctor that was closer. She was driving to Beverly Hills.
So what else?
And I said to her, well, maybe if we had national health care, because it had been part of the argument. She's a conservative, and her husband's a Republican, and so forth. So I said, well, look, now you see, no national health care. Look, you've got a child that come out, you know, jabbering the way he does. you know?
Yeah, I don't think jabbering the way he does is the way you want to describe a autistic child.
I apologize. I apologize. Does your son Mike jabber? Not jabber. You know what I mean, Mike?
I know Mike what you're saying. I mean,
yeah, you know what
I know what you're saying, but the thing is, it's because they can't communicate. They make noises.
That's
you
exactly
know. But
right.
We were lucky. We got him in speech therapy, and it clicked, and he started talking, and now you can't stop him from talking.
Oh, thank God! Thank
Which
God! Because these two,
but,
thank God, because the 27-year-olds are that. I played the tape for you. It's all kinds of jabbering.
Father, you know, we don't have to talk about a jabbering. These poor kids, what are you going to do? Okay? And they made noises in the middle of your homily, and I'm sorry about that. You used that as an opportunity to pitch national health care.
Well, hold on for a minute. What are you saying?
What am I saying? That's what you did. You used it as an opportunity to pitch national health care. Got nothing to do with this woman.
And there's no cure for autism. I mean, to say that national health care could have done it. I mean, I've been overseas in the military, and your guys' health care is hurry up and wait. And I don't know where they could help her. I mean,
it is what it is. But at least had there been proper prenatal care, and had it helped, I wouldn't be in the middle of a homily that took me months to write. And suddenly, it's silly. You hear that, you know.
Don't play that tape anymore. I don't want to hear it. Thank you very much for your call, Mike. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Rich in Denver on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Rich. You're on with Father McQuarters.
You know, I got to ask, what possible church could this individual be from? The things that you've cited.
What order are you, Father McQuarters? What order are you?
That's Franciscan. You know, as Franciscan and Carmelite for 15 years. And go to Franciscan because I've been with the Diocese in Los Angeles, and I moved up to San Francisco. And now I've come back to Los Angeles.
And yet, you're citing items that exist nowhere in the Bible.
I was a Franciscan priest. I'm a diocesan priest now.
Diocese priest.
So, yes, exactly.
Okay, so in the Bible, you've tried to skirt and jump the issue and take it to Jesus throwing the tax collectors out of the church, and that one or two of them were handicapped. Where on earth in the Bible do you get this fact from?
Because we know historically that the temple was used not only by the money changers on certain days of the week, but also the place where we know historically it's also the place on the days the money changers were in the temple, that also those seeking alms, because it was logical for them to be there when the money was changed. So, and many of them helped. Many of them were used as assistants. And so when Jesus threw the money changers out of the temple, he would pick up the money changer and his assistant and throw both of them out the door.
Okay, let's go to the only thing.
And his assistant. How do you know?
Phil, I've been trying to say, this man hasn't. He hasn't stopped talking, Phil.
Go ahead.
I start talking. See, right there.
Okay,
all right,
so
Rich, go ahead, you go.
Thank you, I appreciate that. The only thing we can possibly agree on is that the Bible exists, and you can take, and whether you look in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, or you go to the book of Revelations, you do not take away you do not take away from or add to Scripture. And you're making fun of
I don't know what he's doing, but I want him on hold. Do you understand?
You're making fun of two individuals who are, quite frankly, gifted, because part of their brain is not focused in the same fashion as a normal individual's. I question that your brain is focused in the same fashion as a normal individual.
I don't know how to respond to the man. I had the experience. He didn't. And so there you go.
Good heavens.
I will say this to you. You're not Catholic.
No.
You don't understand the mystery.
Obviously.
You don't understand the mystery. I'm a Catholic priest, and yet while I abhor the idea of abortion, I recognize where it's needed in some cases.
And how can you abhor abortion and recognize where it's needed?
If you're giving a homily, and in the middle of it, the noises, you'll say, boy,
straight out in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. That's
is he still
straightforward Ten Commandments.
All right. 877-877, thank you very much, Rich. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Father McWhorter's, I'm a Catholic priest, but every now and again I can understand how abortion would be a pretty good idea. 877-876-PHIL, you're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
La, 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 la.
Phil Hendry. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL and our website, which I want to remind you, you got to get a subscription to our website. You can watch the show as well as listen to it. It is www.philhendryshow.com. Now, on that site, we have, live streaming video. We also have our audio, which you can download, the audio of the show every day after the show, the day after. You can listen to the show as you watch it. You can, if you don't want to watch, you can listen to it. But it's all there on our website. We also have our archives, an enormous amount of recorded material that is also downloadable in our archives that goes back years and years. We have video archive. We have archives of television projects that we've done. All kinds of stuff at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Now, you know this little girl, and again, we thank Father McWhorter's. Good luck, man, because I think you're going to need it.
You're going to get sued by that lady.
I don't know if he's going to get sued by her, but he's given a homily, and in the middle of it, he's basically saying, "Would you shut your autistic kids up?"
Yeah, and he said that they came out crooked or something.
He said distorted.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah, well, you know what? He deserves whatever he's going to get. Gabori Sidibe.
Yeah, speaking of retarded.
You shut up, speaking of retarded. This lady is an actress. She happens to be overweight, and that's about it. What do you mean retarded?
Another guy said she's too black.
That was Howard Stern. Look, here is a story about Gabori Sidibe, who has been taking it, if you'll pardon the expression, because she is large. This is a fat girl. She's the actress, as you well know, who won an Oscar. She was a Best Actress nominee, I should say, for her role in the movie Precious. And this is a book based on the novel Push by, I don't know. Anyway, the movie's called Precious. So this girl, during the March 8th broadcast, or excuse me, during the Academy Awards, the girl was obviously seen by millions around the globe. And a lot of people have been commenting on her size. Here is Howard Stern talking about this young lady. He doesn't pronounce her name correctly here, which is probably why I didn't, because,
Yeah, get all of our news from Howard.
Pretty much. Here is Howard Stern on this young lady.
There's the most enormous fat black chick I've ever seen, that Gabrielle Sidé. She is enormous. I mean, she is enormous. Good Lord, what does she eat? I mean, it's so sad. And you just want to say to her, listen, honey, now you got a little money in the bank. Go get yourself thin. You're going to die. It's just ludicrous because everyone's pretending to be part of showbiz.
Hey, this is going to be around.
And she's never going to be in another movie. And she really should have gotten the Best Actress Award because she's never going to have another show. What movie is she going to be in? Blindside 2, she could be the football player.
She could be the next football
She could take out the whole front line.
Here is Whoopi Goldberg on The View.
Before you just dismiss her because of her size, take a look at her talent, and maybe some writers will write some stuff for her.
She's a wonderful actress.
She should be, and that's all y'all need to know.
And here is her mother, Alice, reacting to Howard Stern and other critics on Inside Edition.
He can see. You can see, I can see, we all see that Gabby is a big girl. She's a big woman. So what's wrong with that? She's not like everybody else in the world. He might not hire her, but somebody else will be.
Do you think it ever hurts her feelings, though?
I hope not, because you're going to be who you are, no matter what anybody else has to say about it. They didn't make you, and don't let them break you.
Here is Margot McGowan in the San Francisco Chronicle actually writing. She said that Sidibe isn't too fat, but she's too black. She's too black for Hollywood. Her skin tone, too black. She writes, even if the talented actress lost weight, she'd still be too black for Hollywood. She doesn't conform to Hollywood's narrow beauty requirements for romantic leads and stars. Well, maybe not for romantic leads and stars, but doesn't mean she won't work. Although, you know, I don't know, man. I mean, you guys look at my face. See?
Yeah.
Well, don't even say it, okay, bud, because I know what you're thinking, and you're right.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, what are you guys thinking?
You're ugly.
Great, I'm ugly. The point is, am I going to get a leading part in a movie or in a TV show? I doubt it. I got the face of a character guy. Is that a bigoted thing, or is that just the kind of face that I've got? We're losing our grip, man. That's what I got for this. Anyway, she's too black, so she won't get the big starring roles, and she doesn't conform to these narrow requirements that Hollywood prefers white women, preferably blonde. I don't even know if that's true. Hollywood, bad Hollywood. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.